This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'd like to welcome into the studio Sam Reynolds. Welcome to the studio, Sam.
Thank you.
Now, you're here today to talk to us about something which now affects so many people's lives. And I'm sure everyone listening today knows somebody who's been suffering from this dreadful disease, cancer.
Yes.
So you were very unfortunate to suffer this disease from such a young age. So how has this affected your life, and how did you come to set up this amazing support network called Sam Spaces?
Well, I think initially having a diagnosis at the age of 27 was a real eye-opener. And not something that a lot of my support could massively relate to. And so it was a real year out of my life putting the pause button down whilst friends were getting jobs and careers and buying flats and houses. And I think it made me realise that we are a generation who are very affected by stress, and that having had a grandmother and a mother affected as well, I was always very aware of cancer. But with the effects that it had on my fertility and on my femininity, on my image, at 27, that was quite a lot to take on. But I am quite a positive person, and I had the most amazing support. So as I neared the end of the treatment, I'd kept a diary for 365 days from the day of diagnosis, and I wrote a lot, and I used that as a real healing tool. And, I mean, this was before we had social media, really. I mean, it doesn't feel that long ago, but actually a lot's happened in the interim. And I used to send emails to friends and family all together every few weeks and let them know how I was getting on and the progress. And everyone kept saying, oh, you're such a good writer and you explain it really well. And I called it falling down the rabbit hole. So there was a lot of association with Alice in Wonderland. And it sort of just grew into a blog. And when I was diagnosed the second time, I had an 18-month-old baby, and we were moving into our home on the day I got my results from all my tests. And I just wrote, and I started putting it online, and I was using it as a way of explaining how I was feeling and what I was going through, but also offering that solidarity to other younger patients, because having been so young the first time and then being a young mother, barely, you know, I was 32, 33, I just wanted to throw something out there so that somebody knew somebody got it and that they somebody understood. And from there, it turned into a website because I wanted to build a resource of ideas for other patients to be able to tap into and use, to dip into as they were coming out the other end. And after my first diagnosis, I was diagnosed with depression. And then after my second, I had post-traumatic stress. And then after my third, it's been a long, old journey. And the support system just really fell away after my treatment finished. And that was the time I needed it the most. So it really grew into a support for people after the treatment, not necessarily during, when there is a huge bubble around you and you are very much supported and everyone's very aware of what you're going through. But afterwards, I think the a lot of people will say, oh, you're done and you're amazing and you've done this incredible journey and now you're fine. And you're not always fine afterwards. And the effects of the drugs and the treatment have long-standing effects. Mm.
I found that some people say, oh, I don't know what to say to people, that whether they want to talk about it or whether they don't.
Yeah.
And then someone said to me, oh, some people almost like having it because they've never had so much attention. And to me, that is sort of, can be the wrong attention, where every time you meet someone, they say, oh, how are you?
Yes.
You know, with a pathetic look. Mm. So it's very, very difficult, isn't it, to know how much attention someone wants to have.
Yeah. I think keeping lines of communication is always... keeping them open is always really important.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it is harder for the friends and family and the support group because as a patient, you know how you're feeling, and it's not always easy to express that to other people who are trying desperately to make it better, and of course they can't.
Mm. And people don't want to say, but how are you really feeling? I'm sure some people do.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Alison said, it is hard to know what to say, isn't it? Because people do care, but they can't vocalise it.
Yeah, it's a really sensitive area.
Mm-hmm.
I have obviously known quite a few people go through a diagnosis since, and, you know, the one thing that I found really difficult was when people will say, don't worry, you'll be fine, it will get better. And
No one knows that.
So I think nowadays, though, it's amazing. I mean, there are some incredible cards out there that are just brilliant at saying it how it is, but in a really fun way. And I mean, I've sent a few of them myself just because, you know, just because I've had it doesn't mean to say I know what the right thing is to say.
I was going to say actually to you, though, how is it that by having it flagged up probably every day of your life, it doesn't sort of get you down, really?
So this was the other reason why I felt it was really important to focus on people after treatment, because initially I was talking to a lot of people who had just been diagnosed, and it is hard, and you know, I'm still to a certain extent going back to that hospital environment and having tests and checkups, and it's always a bit tricky. So my passion was really to give that support to people in an everyday environment and know that they had a community or a group and a network that they could dip into as and when they needed it, because of course you're trying to get on with your life and you are trying to move forward, but it's just helpful knowing that there are a group of people who get it, who you can check in with.
And people that you don't have to pretend to be anything other than how you're feeling and who you are on that day.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and it's very practical because, you know, the whole point is to look after your well-being. So we do lots of workshops. And
yes, I was going to ask you about that.
To move away from that focus of, oh, I've been unwell and... I'm feeling low today. Well, let's do something about it.
What sort of workshops do you do then? I see you've got a parenting one.
All sorts, yes. So the parenting one came about after talking to a lot of members of the group about how they were struggling to communicate with their kids about it. Finding tools of being able to deal with the fatigue with being a parent, as well as be open and honest, but in a way that the child is not going to feel overwhelmed with and can understand, and practical things that we can do. But we also do workshops. They're all centered around well-being. Mm-hmm. So we've had cookery classes, we've had crystal workshops, we've had
the possibilities are endless,
yes,
then, aren't they, really?
And it's lovely because it means that the network I'm building is with not just survivors, but with people who are trying to build their own businesses, therapists, professionals, and you know, it really is anybody's game, really. If they want to get involved with sharing their skills and sharing what they do, we've had reflexology, we've had all sorts.
How did it actually start? So what was the first process of actually getting Sam Space, as in, okay, you might have had the name and the concept, but when did you get the keys to the door, or that sort of thing?
It was a really organic process, and that's been the whole thing about Sam Spaces. It has been very organic, and I think because you're dealing with an area that is so sensitive and people's vulnerabilities, and that it's almost a sort of passage, because I think the further you get away from a cancer diagnosis, the more your priorities change, the more you change. But I realised that there was a real need for this. So I was talking to a wonderful, amazing girl, Emma, who used to teach me bar. And she was very big on the networking side of things. And she just said to me one day, we've got to do this. You've got to start a support group. You've got to see people face to face. You've got to give them that.
And you all meet socially as well, don't you?
Yes.
Which is good.
Yeah, so we
do. Do you find some people who actually start off being negative when they come to the social group turn out to be quite positive in the end?
Yes.
That's brilliant. That's
the best thing. Because
positivity is the best thing, I think, for cancer, isn't it?
There's one girl who's become an amazing friend, and she has come on leaps and bounds, and she's now climbing Snowdon for her the Pituitary Foundation, and I'm doing it with her.
Oh,
in June.
Snowdon.
Yes.
Well, can you just tell us, we've almost running out of time, I'm afraid.
So I know.
But can you tell us about your Sam Spaces bracelets? Is that for raising money for a charity?
Yes, the money goes to climbing with cancer, and they are beautiful blue climbing rope, which is wrapped with different threads representing all the threads of resilience and support, and they have a charm, and they make beautiful prezzies for those times when you really don't know what to say.
How do you get one of those?
You get on the website www.samspaces.co.uk, and there's a whole area there.
Lovely. Well, we could go on talking about this, I think, all day, but thank you very much for talking to us about it, and I'm sure that we can hear in the future about other things you're doing.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.